Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center, Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I guess their reasoning is they want Russia to win so badly that they want to oust the speaker over it. I mean, it's a strange position to take. I think they want to be in the minority, too. I think that's an obvious reality. I'm still trying to process all the
That's Representative Dan Crenshaw. He wears an eye patch because he lost an eye fighting in a battle. He understands a war is a real thing and realizes we're up against China and Iran and Russia and wants to do something about it. And he said the Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene crowd are more interested in kicking out the speaker than defeating Russia. And he said, I'm still trying to process this bull S. He's one of the few, in my mind, grown-up Republicans who haven't just quit in disgust and is still trying to fight the battle there in the House of Representatives.
Right. What he said about, I think they'd rather be in the minority, yeah, is true.
There are a bunch of people, I've come to believe this, yes, definitely. There are a bunch of people in both parties that prefer the minority because you don't have to actually do anything. You can bitch and bitch and bitch. You can raise money.
Grandstand, become a YouTube star.
And there's no pressure to, like, figure anything out.
Right. You never have to govern. You never have to be responsible for anything that happens.
So, oh, by the way, Israel responded. This all fits together, this whole conversation. Israel responded to Iran last night. And we're going to talk to Mike Lyons a little later this hour on what that means. Here is a report from Fox on what's going on with Speaker Johnson, the House, and all these funding bills right now.
Aid to Ukraine and Mike Johnson's speakership.
He's serving Ukraine first and America last.
Both dangling by a thread. Marjorie Taylor Greene threatening to oust Johnson if he helps Ukraine and fails to address the border. Matt Gaetz engineered the ouster of former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy last fall.
My hope was, yes, that the motion to vacate would be an elixir that only required one dose,
right,
for effectiveness. But sometimes there are some therapies that require more than one dose.
Matt Gaetz makes me feel like I've been touched without my consent.
Wow.
Every time I see him on screen, I feel like I've been molested.
Luckily, your daughters are too old for him, so you don't have to worry about that.
True. Yeah, they're in their 20s.
So here's a couple interesting things that happened before we hear from the speaker himself on why he's doing what he's doing now. We talked a little bit yesterday about the importance of the House Rules Committee, which I just learned myself in like recent weeks. But the reason they can even move forward with these bills and perhaps get them passed this weekend is the Democrats on the House Rules Committee joined with the Republican Speaker to get this stuff out of the committee and actually be able to move forward. Because the intransigent, I've been getting complaining for several days about you can't call them extra conservative because that's not what they are. What do you call that crowd?
I don't know. I'm still working on it.
But anyway, that crowd has been keeping anything from getting out of the Rules Committee, and the Democrats joined, which, you know, in our current negative polarization times is not a good look for the Republican Speaker if you're getting things through with Democratic votes. He'll explain in a moment why he's willing to do that. But Mark Halperin,
you know, the closest I can come to a descriptor is they're pretty isolationist.
Is that
the isolationist wing of the Republican Party?
If it was just that, that'd be fine, because that's a position. That's a political position. I don't think that's what Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz are. They're all kinds of nut job, grandstand fundraiser. I don't think they have...
I think though they're different beasts. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think, is sincere a lot of the time. I just think she's misguided. Matt Gaetz is a weasel.
Anywho, Mark Halperin writing in his political newsletter today, what's happening before our eyes, if the House package passes, gets validated by the House or by the Senate and sent to Joe Biden's signature, would be one of the most miraculous political stories in quite some time, because it's been a long time since anything like this has happened, where one party, with the help of one leader with most, can only get this accomplished with the help of the other party and gets it, because their own party doesn't want it. Here is Speaker Johnson yesterday, asked by a reporter. He'd been kind of waffling for several weeks and kind of like acting like he's going along with the people who don't want this funding to try to please him. And he apparently, in like the last 72 hours, has just decided, screw it. I know this is the right thing to do. I'm going to do it anyway, and here's his explanation.
Why are you willing to risk losing your job over this Ukraine funding?
Listen, my philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage. I could make a... You know, I can make a selfish decision and do something that that's different, but I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten that I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil. I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. My son is going to begin in the Naval Academy this fall. This is a live fire exercise for me, as it is so many American families. This is not a game. It's not a joke. We can't play politics of this. We have to do the right thing. And I'm going to allow an opportunity for every single member of the House to vote their conscience and their will on this. And I think that's the way this institution is supposed to work. And I'm willing to take personal risk for that, because we have to do the right thing, and history will judge us.
History will judge us.
You're going to have to give me a minute to recover from hearing anything that sincere out of an American politician. I don't even know what to say.
That's why I wanted to play the whole thing. I thought it was extraordinary.
Yeah, wow. Wow.
He said, I've got a kid going into the Naval Academy. This is a live fire exercise for us. History will judge us. I believe the intel reports we're getting, China, Russia, and Iran are working together.
And I thought the framing of the question, and don't let me forget to get back to that, the framing of the question was so interesting. Wait, don't you understand? You risk losing power inside the Beltway.
Right.
Why are you doing this? And I'm not blaming the journalist because that's how everybody thinks. But yeah, and he responded as a real human being, which was shocking. Back to the geopolitics part of it. Got a note from Kevin P., frequent correspondent on this topic, and he said, during yesterday's show, while discussing proposed aid to Ukraine, Joe was finally honest about America's role in the conflict. I'm paraphrasing Joe, but he said something very close to, quote, The goal is to make the cost to an aggressor so high that they never think of invading the rest of Europe. That's an enormous victory for the rest of us. If that means Ukraine loses 50% or 80% of their land, well, sorry, Ukraine. Finally, we're calling it what it is. Our goal isn't to help Ukraine win. It's to weaken Russia at Ukraine's expense. Do you remember what Putin said? The West is determined to fight Russia down to the last Ukrainian. And he's right. I would like to apologize to Kevin. My hastily assembled response sounds more dismissive than I'd intended it to. I guess the finally honest rubbed me the wrong way. And I said, nope, like many things in life and foreign policy, you have a primary goal and both positive and negative secondary effects, even if plan A doesn't work out, like Ukraine. Obviously, meaning we would like very much to drive Putin and his vicious forces out of Ukraine, restore Ukraine's sovereignty. But if that doesn't work, we'll have made it so effing expensive, the next dictator decides for land grab is going to think twice or three times. That's not different goals. That's the nature of life. And I absolutely think it's possible. I don't think Putin will try to snatch up an entire country. But maybe it's just because I'm coming off finishing rewatching the fabulous Winston Churchill biopic, The Darkest Hour, and being reminded for the umpteenth time of some of Hitler's strategies in Europe and the subtleties of it, not just the big strategy, but you grab little pieces of land. You justify them through this mostly German speakers and they're getting beat up or whatever. And then you grab another little piece of land and then another one and you provoke and then you offer negotiations and then you pull back just a little bit. I could absolutely see Putin doing that with a town in Poland.
Sure.
A section of Estonia.
And he's already made that argument of there are a lot of Russian speaking people in Estonia that are being abused. He's already started that argument.
And the other side of the, yes, 100%. And the other side of that coin is even if you don't go with the full H, and that's you always intended to overrun Europe and own it, you can exact enormous concessions like the British were prepared to do, Neville Chamberlain et al., because they were so terrified of the prospect of war. And so Putin either gets his hegemony over huge sections of Europe, or he gets huge concessions by pursuing that strategy. That's why you got to make it too expensive to pursue.
Well, I've always been very skeptical of the idea that Putin would actually take on a NATO country or go for somebody else, but you heard Mike Johnson there saying the intel is that he would. And I've heard Michael McCaul, is that what his name is? The representative chair of the Intelligence Committee say the same thing on a whole bunch of talk shows.
And one more note, just to our correspondents, anybody who goes with endless wars and never-ending finances of Ukraine, your arguments are bad. Find better arguments. It's like calling me a stupid head. A couple of years is not a never-ending war.
By the way, to get a little bipartisanship in here before we take a break and do something else, the House voted yesterday on whether to condemn Iran's attack of Israel last weekend. The vote was 404-14. 13 Democrats voted against condemning Iran for their attack on Israel, and it was Rashida Tlaib and Ayanna Pressley and Ilhan Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Barbara Lee and Pramila Jayapal and, the usual Cori Bush, the usual crowd. And one Republican, I'm not exactly sure what his deal was, but
radical leftist numbskulls.
This is an interesting time. I think that stuff is going to pass this weekend. Now, if they decide to boot Johnson out, who are you going to replace him with? But we can talk about that next week.
The Columbia protesters and a side story to their protests and the arrests and the rest of it, which is not only the funniest thing I've heard surrounding the protests, but it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. But it also shows, once again, the media's absolutely wild, flaming bias. We'll get to that. So many good things to talk about today.
Man, they were going through some of the jurors' social media there at the Trump trial to figure out what their beliefs were. And some of them weren't honest about it. Did you see some of those tweets that they came up with for some people that want to be on the jury? Oh, my God.
I just heard vaguely about it. Love
pretty
to hear
entertaining.
That.
Lots of stuff that's entertaining. Stay with us.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Why have we talked about furries so many times over the years? Is it because San Jose has one of the biggest furry conventions in America?
Yeah, that's part of it.
It's in our own
Plus,
backyard.
It's just strange and troubling and amusing and really crazy sort of crazy.
Well, I came out of this report with more compassion for the people, actually. This is out of WGN in Chicago.
Explain to me exactly what furry fandom is.
If in real life you're shy and not very outgoing, that sort of thing, you throw on a costume, you're behind a mask.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a cat right now.
Yeah.
I'm a giant cat.
Damn right you are.
I can behave like a cat.
Huh?
I can meow at people.
Oh, that's fine. Don't worry about it. You're a cat.
And what are you exactly?
I am a wolf.
You're a wolf?
Yes.
Are you a wolf?
Mostly.
You're mostly wolf.
Yes.
What else are you?
Dragon.
You're a wolf and a dragon.
I need to ask you a question. Be honest with me.
Sure.
You gotta be sweating your ass off of this thing.
I think I just got a contact high. Do a lot of people know that you are a furry, that you practice furry fandom?
My friends do.
Yeah, what about your family?
Not so much.
Some things they don't need to know
There's
about, right?
Exactly.
A
lot of hugging.
Yeah.
People are very affectionate.
Good.
I'm trying to warm up to it. I gotta tell you, I'm not generally a hugger.
Well, then you probably shouldn't be here.
Well, I'm trying to learn. I'm not the kind of tiger that plays grab tail
with
anybody.
Everybody dressed in, well, they look like mascots from local high school basketball teams. That's what they look like. They're dressed as tigers and wolves and lots of dogs and cats. For whatever reason, I must have just been in the mood for it. I came away from that with, you know, more compassion than usual. Just these are really socially awkward people that basically is just throwing on a you can't see me where they can act like interact with other people in a more normal way than they have their whole lives.
Sort of. I agree with your compassion. Acting like a dog is not relating normally to people.
True.
But it is relating to people.
Right. And
any port in a storm.
Yeah, and maybe these people just... I'm pretty socially awkward, but not to the point that, like, I can't be around other people. I mean, if you were to that point, and I've known people like that, maybe this gives you an outlet you've never had before. I don't know who came up with the idea of if I dress like a fox and you dress like a dog, we can hang out and have a couple of drinks and watch television together and be comfortable. But
and then there's the sometimes sexual aspect of it. Although I don't think I didn't feel that vibe coming from that clip at all.
No, just
because somebody once said to us, by and large, furries are by and large. I'm not sure that's justified, but it's funny.
That was cruel.
I didn't make
it up. The cruelest thing you ever said.
Oh, please. Go back through the archives. It's rare that we have two furry stories in one day, but
that's plenty.
There's a story that there was a walkout at a Utah middle school, Mount Nebo Middle School, about an hour south of Salt Lake City. Students and children and parents walked out, an hours-long walkout, over furries being disruptive. Children who dress as furries. Yesterday, over 70 students walked out of Mount Nebo School to protest the school for letting furries bite, bark, and lick them.
Nah.
In protest, video protests shared to social media, students accused the alleged furries of biting, scratching, barking, spraying air freshener on, and pouncing on other students. Some students who walked out complained that the furries wore masks every day. They think they're so cool, can't talk to or say anything to the furries or even look at them, but they can come and look at us and say stuff to us and touch us, said the other, said one girl. However, the school district's public information officer pushed back on claims about students dressed as animals. Students may wear headbands with ears, but not dress in full-body animal costumes, he said. Blah, 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 blah.
Can't you just get a laser pointer and make them run around at will?
I'm not a cat.
But there is something weird going on. And Utah, of all places.
Right.
Utah? Come on. You got kids dressed as cats running around pawing the other kids, and the kids are powerless to make them stop?
Israel retaliated against Iran. Big deal or not? Is it over or just the beginning? We'll talk to Mike Lyons coming up.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What we now have is Iran versus Israel. Each time one hits the other feels they have to do something. That's, you know, the typical security spiral where one side does something that it believes it has to do. The other side can't do nothing. Then that triggers, you know, a further one. So you up goes the ratchet. So far, it's been calibrated and calculated, but it could get out of hand.
That's Fareed Zakaria on CNN this morning. There was a retaliatory attack by Israel in Iran, actually attacked in Iran last night. But Israel hasn't claimed they have, and Iran hasn't claimed that they were attacked. Only our Pentagon has said that this happened. And so officially, it's... You know, it's interesting. Neither the attacker or the attackee is willing to admit it happened.
How intriguing. Let's discuss with CNN military analyst Mike Lyons. Mike served with various military organizations, both the U.S. and Europe, throughout his career. And I would like to talk about Europe in a bit. But, Mike, greetings. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to be back.
First of all, how much damage was done in this attack by Israel on Iran?
Well, we don't know specifically. We haven't seen the battle damage assessment enough to, you know, create the flak. The Iranians decided, you know, obviously to try to shoot it down. But the bottom line is it got through. And it was a military target in the same, coincidentally, a location where Iran converts mined uranium before it figures to that third stage, where it gets to that enrichment stage in the Fertow and the Thales region in order to create, you know, nuclear capability, like we all saw Oppenheimer, right? So that's what goes there. But it's definitely close enough. So I think there was two issues here. Number one, they took out when it was a military target, they took out what was an air base and likely cratered runways and took out F-14s, you know, planes from literally 50 years ago. And Iran and Israel can claim that they were part of that initial barrage that took place last week on Sunday. But the second thing, it's just close enough to that nuclear facility. And the message from Israel to Iran is we could get any of these facilities we want. Your air defense platforms are just not capable. And the difference between you firing weapons and us firing weapons at you is that ours will actually hit the target.
Well, since Iran seems to be really close to a bomb, at least that's what the reporting was last week, why didn't Israel just go ahead and take out their nuclear facilities?
It would be too difficult. That would be a very serious military campaign. I'm not even sure you'd accomplish that. You would set it back if you destroyed it, but you would, you know, they've diversed this program through multiple different areas up and down inside of Iran, and I don't think, you know, it would be more than one strike. It would be an absolute campaign in order to take it out. This facility in particular would be important. It's kind of the second phase in that nuclear enrichment process, and so, you know, you have to have all three. But also, you know, the intellectual capital now is inside of Iran to do this. It's not like when the Israelis took out Osirik in 81 or took out the Syrian one in I guess it was 06 or sometime in the 07, they, you know, those were facilities built by someone else, the North Koreans or the Chinese. Those countries really had no idea what was going on. They kind of outsourced it. You know, Iran's got this capability now that they know they've got scientists. They have the intellectual capital. So you're not going to geez out of the bottle. You know, they're not going to ever be set back, whether it's now or 50 years from now. Eventually, they're going to want to develop this kind of nuclear capability for power, and then potentially that does lead to, you know, a potential nuclear weapon.
Well, golly, that's something to look forward to. Back to the strike and Fareed Zakaria's point there that it's the inevitable obligatory counterstrike and ratcheting up. It feels pretty clearly to me to be a ratcheting down. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. Deterrence is based on offensive capability, and that's what we're talking about when we say deterrence is becoming restored. You know, when the White House tells Israel, you know, take the W, nothing got through. A defensive posture does not deter anybody in the future. It doesn't, you know, the next time the Iranians can attack with 600 missiles or 1,000 missiles or, you know, whatever is in their inventory, who's to say that that won't get through? So from a definition perspective, you know, there was no deterrence. And that's what Israel had to do, number one, is reestablish the deterrence. And that's an offensive capability. And so that's what they did. And by sending the message that the Iranian air defense platforms, they went after them. It looks like they took out a few of those, some radar sites as well. I wouldn't be surprised if they took out some along the way. They likely, if Iran is smart, they've pre-positioned radar forward in places like Syria and these other locations in the Middle East as they have their fingerprints everywhere there. So I think that from Israel's perspective, they had to strike back offensively. They had to have a target hit the ground. And oh, by the way, you didn't see any Chinese or Russian air defense platforms going after Israel. Why? Because Iran doesn't have any those kind of allies. So this is where, you know, but for the United States, some of those missiles make it through the other night. But this is a case where it's good to have allies that the U.S. has. Iran doesn't have any of those allies. And should Israel decide now that I think deterrence has been restored, Iran now knows that if it wants, all it's got to do is readjust that next fire mission. And instead of hitting that military target in that town, they can hit in Isfahan, they can hit the whole nuclear facility there.
Yeah, I got to say, I learned something last night from your tweet, and it's obvious once it's stated. This is probably the sort of thing they teach you at West Point, but deterrence is restored by showing your offensive capability, not your defensive capability. And so saying, hey, I could stop you doesn't work. You got to hit them so hard. Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, and that's what I think. That's why they had to respond. And I thought it might have been a little more covert. And who knows what else was going on? There could be cyber attacks going on. There could be all kinds of other things that they're doing. And people I've been talking to think that it'll go back into more of the shadows now. And, you know, if you're a scientist, keep your head on a swivel. And I think that, that's still not to say Israel's not going to attack inside of Syria to attack military targets that Iranian has.
Well, right. As I said earlier, if I'm an Iranian nuclear scientist, I wouldn't go out for a jog at night.
Yeah, or have a cup of tea. Here, have this cup of tea. It's going to be really good. Give this a shot.
So, Mike, I asked this not for political reasons, but geopolitical, historical reasons. Have you an answer, if you'd like, as a dad, as a coach, as a military commander, whatever, how pathetic is it, the whole don't.
Yeah.
When time after time, they went ahead and did.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a son also that serves right now, so it is very concerning, that level of rhetoric. And I'm not sure who it's to. Is it to Iran, or is it actually to a political body out in Michigan someplace that he's trying to gather votes for? I mean, so many sides right now are talking internally as opposed to externally. You used to have a country where an administration, you know, there would be a sign on the wall that says the priority is the country, period, full stop. And anytime someone came up with some kind of crazy hair green scheme, you say, hey, listen, does it have anything to do with that? Because if it doesn't, we're not going to do it. Well, saying things like don't, or things like take the W, you're good to go. I mean, like, it's not in the best interest of our country. It's in the best interest, frankly, that Israel puts as much military spank on Iran as possible and defeats their capability. Look, they got thousands of these rockets. They only sent 300 the other day. If the Iranians would like, they could fire 1,000, and I guarantee it, some of them would make their way through. They're dumb. You know what I mean by that? Those ballistic missiles are you know, travel in a way that they're not. You can't really aim them. They've got all kinds of things that they're like those Scud missiles from the 90s. They could hit anywhere, and so it's kind of hard to hit them down. And so that could still happen. So let's just get back to speak softly and carry a big stick, not speak, you know, dumbly and carry, you know, whatever happens and whatever comes next, you know.
Amen to that. So you used the term flack earlier, which tripped a trigger in my head. Have you watched Masters of the Air yet, the series?
Yeah.
What do you think of it?
Yeah, terrific. I think that story's not been told. You know, each of these different interest groups, you know, the Army's story always gets told with, you know, obviously Band of Brothers and Saving Private Ryan, the best movie I've ever seen that replicates combat, frankly. Mm. And then you saw the Pacific, that series, because each of the, you know, and the story of the Air Force pilots has not really been told there. But it also demonstrated what that life was like. I mean, they would go up, maybe get shot down. If not, they come back. They go up, maybe get shot down, come back. They go up, they get shot down, and become a POW. And, you know, it's not the same as a tactical situation on the ground, but the courage of those crews. I mean, deciding when to bail out at 5,000 feet or 10,000 feet in you know, non-static line parachutes, and it's incredible. And the courage that they show. So I'm glad that story was finally told for all those in the 8th Air Force back at the time, which was part of the Army, actually, the Army Air Force Corps back then. Tremendous story, I thought.
Yeah, well, you understand why, for the British version of that, Churchill's quote of never have so many owed so much to so few. I mean, that's a hell of a thing to do.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
A final question, for me at least, Mike. We were discussing the situation in Ukraine, Putin, the funding, the rest of it earlier, and we were discussing the likelihood that certain voices are correct, that Putin would continue to press forward and at the very least grab up just a little chunk of Poland on some pretext and just a bit of Estonia, you know, a Hitler and 38 style strategy. How concerned about that? Do you think that's paranoia or just a pitch to get more funding? Or do you think that's a realistic possibility?
No, pitch to get more funding. He's not in position to take any of these other lands. He can barely contain what he's got in Ukraine right now, although from a grinding out perspective, he continues to do that. But and if they do take Poland or Estonia, those are NATO countries, and that triggers Article 5, and here we go. But I don't think that you know, Russia has that capability. You know, you go back to deterrence. Part of that $60 billion package would be deterrence, because if Russia knew that the Ukrainians can draw and that kind of thing, that would really, you know, potentially stop them and decide that they're going to negotiate at that point in time. Well, the other thing, too, is we're both seeing in both of these platforms, both of these theaters, is how the importance of air defense. I'll tell you right now, find air defense companies, invest in them, because when these conflicts are over, countries are going to really recognize the importance of protecting their airspace. I think we've talked about that before, but it's just more or less really come now to be, as we saw when Israel violates the Iranian airspace last night without any kind of problem at all. You're seeing even in Ukraine now, if we let the Ukrainians take some of these offensive weapons and attack into Russia, they'd have some real problems too. I think they're, you know, the air defense platforms that Iran has. Oh, by the way, those are SA-300s. Those are Russian-made, Chinese-made systems. It's all the same crap, and it just goes to show the superior of the Western technology in the battlefield right now.
CNN military analyst Major Mike Lyons. Mike, always enlightening. Really enjoyed the chat. Have a great weekend. Looking forward to talking again.
Great, guys. Heading to Las Vegas. Looking forward to the weekend. Take care.
Oh, cool. Have fun. Go to the Sphere. I went to the Sphere. That was good. That was really interesting stuff right there.
Yeah.
He knows more about all this stuff than I, I'm not even close. But I don't think he's right about the Article 5 thing. I don't think you take a little chunk of Poland and Estonia. It does trigger Article 5. That's a political decision, not a military decision.
Well, and I think you're even righter than you stated, because it will trigger a threat to invoke Article 5. The U.S. is not going to say, that's it. It's on. We're on. NATO's not going to say, we're sending up the tanks.
Joe Biden's going to say, we're sending troops to Estonia to fight the Russians. Not a chance.
No, he's going to say, if you don't cut it out, we're going to send troops to Estonia. And Putin's going to say, well, you ain't sent them yet. Let me try another town. It's next to the first town. That's the way I see it unfolding. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. You can weigh in anytime you want. Text line 415-295-KFTC. Of course, the biggest news story of the day, Taylor Swift has dropped a surprise double album out of nowhere. Nobody saw it coming. We'll have full team coverage. Stay tuned.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Am I allowed to cry? I dream. Is this from the new album that just came out today? Taylor Swift double album. It's called Tortured Poet or something like that. It's supposed to be her poetry from the last several years of heartbreak and heartache and something like that. Which I'm sure will get a lot of attention.
Got info on that. I'll bet you $100 that drum sample is from the Talking Heads version of Take Me to the River.
Oh,
I'd
really
recognize it anywhere.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes,
well, and you know who's behind all that? I don't know about this album. Look, do you know this? Is Jack Abramoff the producer of this one, like all our other giant albums?
I do not know, sir. I suspect he is. I mean, why would you mess with that formula?
Right. He is the biggest deal in all of music.
Yes, the title, Jack, is the Tortured Poets Department, and the cover art is Ms. Swift lying alluringly in her underwear on a bed.
Yee.
I know, when I hear tortured poet, you know, I've got a friend who's kind of the tortured poet type. Oh, do you mean she lolls around alluringly in her underwear? What do you mean?
With $1 billion?
Not to say she doesn't endure emotional ups and downs like all of us
do. Of course
but
I do.
Yeah. I just think the title and the cover art juxtaposed are kind of funny.
Yeah, I saw a text the other day about Elon Musk talking about taking ketamine for depression. He's the world's richest man. I mean, if that doesn't solve some questions about money buying happiness, I don't know. I mean, he's got more money than anybody's ever had. He can't completely primarily buy happiness.
No, indeed. No, and if somebody's wealthy and successful and good-looking and their marriage is crumbling, they're miserable, trust me.
Yeah.
Jack Abramoff co-wrote and produced and all sorts of
Man,
stuff.
Man, he is a talented dude.
Oh, yeah, he's ridiculous.
When I come across, I've watched some of his YouTube videos, and he's just one of those guys, he can play every instrument, and he does all the producing, and he can, you know, he can write 10 hit songs in an afternoon if he wants to, and that sort of stuff. And just, they think of music in a different way than I do, and I've spent a lot of time thinking about it and working on it. But
yeah, most pop music is very formulaic these days, so the writing of it doesn't impress me nearly as much as his capability and the technical stuff. But
well, I love his Bleacher stuff. I think it's just flat out awesome.
I gotta dig into that.
Oh God, yeah. I love that stuff.
You keep saying that.
Here's a headline. Endless shrimp turns into endless loss for Red Lobster, which mulls bankruptcy. So the endless shrimp thing didn't work out.
This is hilariously, depressingly predictable.
This would have worked in the 50s. It doesn't work now, might be the thing. We're too fat. We're too self-indulgent. We can't have endless shrimp.
I know what I'll do. I'll offer endless shrimp, all you can eat, to the fattest country on earth. Jim, have you thought seriously about this now?
Another headline. Tesla recalls all 4,000 Cybertrucks delivered so far over problems with a trapped accelerator pedal. That sounds like an actual physical problem as opposed to the phony Tesla recall stories that are just updating software.
Right.
All of the Cybertrucks? I'm starting to see them around now. I live in Northern California, so it's more likely. You probably haven't seen one wherever you are, but you hate to recall all of your new giant vehicles that you're trying to make such a splash with.
I saw a Rivian in the wild the other day. I was surprised.
Wow, and that's unique in your hood, because I see them every day. But yeah, I live in an electric car town. Another story. San Francisco to be the next U.S. city to receive a pair of pandas from China as part of the panda diplomacy program between Washington and Beijing, which I thought was over, but apparently they're still trying to woo us with their cute bears.
Pandas, that's the kind of fat bear with the black eyes, right?
Correct.
All right.
That I've been told should just be allowed to go extinct. They've kind of just like, they just don't have any, there's no natural reason for them to continue. Lots of beasts have gone extinct before humankind did anything.
What? That's a disgusting and perverse point of view. I won't have it.
You want to keep every animal alive forever?
No, just the cute ones.
Just the cute ones.
Just the endearing ones.
Right.
The ugly ones can die off. That's fine.
Wow.
That's parody, folks.
Who's ugly in this story? That's what I would like to know.
Look in the mirror.
And then I got some stuff. I got too many things to talk about today. There's a lot going on in the news. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Yeah, no kidding. Can't wait for next hour. Looking forward to it.
Big thing happened in the presidential election we need to talk about.
Armstrong and Getty.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.